The church is described in several ways in the Holy Scriptures. One of the grand descriptions of the church is that it is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of many members. And these members, they will all have their particular function. Now, consider the body that we have. Our body is also made up of several members. And each member of the body also have their particular function. The eyes, they are supposed to bring in sight. The nose is supposed to smell. The ears are supposed to hear. The mouth is a member that is used to consume food. Of course, we also have the tongue, and the tongue, together with the mouth, is supposed to enable us to speak. Then we have the hands. The hands are supposed to help us to hold things, help us to write. And then we have the feet, which are supposed to bring us from place to place. Eternally, we have the heart that is supposed to pump blood all around the body. Then we have the liver that is supposed to serve to handle all the toxins that may be found in the body. Each and every portion of our body has a particular function. And each portion, each member is important. Together, they serve to make this body function in the way they ought to function. Each particular part of the body has a particular role, has a particular service. And this is also how we must understand the church. The church, made up of several members, each one has their particular function, each one is called to serve. And when we talk about service, what is each member called to serve? If you look at the Bible, you'll realize that the general calling is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, isn't it? That is what we are supposed to do down here upon this earth. And of course, later on, even when we get to heaven, this is what we are supposed to do. While we are upon this earth, we are supposed to be a faithful witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are supposed to magnify His name. We are supposed to hold the Word of God up high. That is the service that we are supposed to render unto God. Now, of course, when you talk about our service in this grand theme of the glory of God, then you will realize that there will also be various different aspects to the service that we render unto God. And each one of us, we have a particular place to serve, a particular role to play. The eye has a particular role to play in the body, isn't it? The nose also has a particular role to play. The mouth also has a particular role to play. Each one of us have a particular role to play. And if any one of us fail in our service to the Lord, we say, oh, I am a Christian, but I'm not called to serve, even though you are, and you do not want to serve. You will realize that it will hurt the body of Christ. And so therefore, this theme that we are going to consider today, the call to service, is very, very critical to the health of the church. It's also very, very critical with regards to our purpose here upon this earth. You call yourself a Christian, you say that you are saved. What exactly are you saved for? You are always saved for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to serve the Lord. And so, in the coming weeks, in the coming messages that we are dealing with in Exodus, you will realize that a lot of it has to do with the service of God. We pray that as we consider the various teachings that we find right here in the book of Exodus, that we will also grow in our understanding of what it means to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For understand, based upon this particular passage, that when we talk about the call to service, one of the elements of the call to service is that it is only the believer that have this privilege to be called to service. That is what we find down here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, isn't it? Because who is it down here that is called to service? It's Moses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Now Moses, by this time, we know to be already a believer. How do we know this? Right? Because of the events that happened in Exodus chapter 2, and also of the testimony of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Now, what is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26? Now, if we turn to the particular passage of Scripture, right, so put your finger at Exodus chapter 3, and then now we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, and down here, right, God's word says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." And so you see down here with regards to Moses, right, especially in Exodus chapter 2, when he took the stand, right, to be with his brethren, right, to be with the Hebrews, the scriptures down here in Hebrews chapter 11 tell us that it is by faith. No, he's not doing something just simply because, oh, I am a Hebrew, just like how he's a Hebrew, and so therefore out of nationalistic pride. Remember, there is no nation at this point of time, so you probably can't even call it nationalistic pride. Maybe you call it people pride of the same people, and so therefore I decide to slay the Egyptian. The scriptures here tell us that the reason why he did it was because of faith. He trusted in God and his promises. He also understood the role that he had to play. Now, we know that in Exodus chapter 2, although he did it out of good intentions, he did it wrongly. Nevertheless, you know that whatsoever he had in his heart, whatsoever passions that he had with regards to everything, right, that happened in Exodus chapter 2 was because of the faith that he had in his own God. So understand this, right? What he had to learn, though, is that he must do it in the right way. He must do it according to how God would want him to do it. He must always do it according to truth. And that is the reason why we know that in Exodus chapter 2, Moses was not yet ready for what God is going to call him to do, right here in Exodus chapter 3, that is to deliver the people of God. Nevertheless, we know that by the time of Exodus chapter 3, definitely he was already a believer. And so consider this truth first, that when he comes to the call of service, who is it that is called? It is the believer. And what it means, therefore, is the call to service is actually a privilege. It's a privilege that no other person in this world can have except the Christian. Don't you understand this? Therefore, it is really not good if a Christian would say, you know that I am a believer and I just want to be known as a believer. I just want to stay babyish in my faith, and then with regards to life in the church, with regards to my ways in the workplace, with regards to my ways at home, I'm not going to care. I'm just going to live like the world. I want to be just left alone. Why can't you let me be left alone? I want to live like the rest of the people. I do not want to serve Jesus Christ. That is just simply not right. Once you are called to be a believer, you are called to serve the Lord. Sure, there will be certain aspects of the service, as we will soon see, that will be revealed later on. But understand, first, if you are called a believer, you are definitely called to service. There is none down here who can say that I am called a child of God. I am a child of God, and therefore, I do not need to serve. No, not one. Everyone must serve the Lord, because that is exactly what God has called you to do, and it's a privilege that is extended to you. Because there is none other in this world that can serve the Lord. Why? Because all those who have not believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whatsoever they do, is stained by sin. The Bible said that all our righteousness are like filthy rags. That is the picture of somebody who have not had his sins cleansed by the blood of Christ Jesus. And so therefore, whatsoever he do will always be taken as an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And the reason is very simple. Whatever act that is done may look good in the sight of men, but it is never ever done with Christ as the motive. So understand this. But now that you have become a believer and the Holy Spirit indwells within you, you who are cleansed by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so much so that you're also clothed with his righteousness, so much so that now you can stand before God and God says, it's just as if you have not sinned. I do not find this person guilty. Now you can be empowered to do good works before the Lord, works that will be acceptable before him. And that is exactly what God has intended for you to do. If you look carefully at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, you realize that at the end, especially in verse 10, the Lord has said, this is what I have ordained all of you to do, that you should bear good works unto the praise of my holy name. And so therefore, understand that every single one of us who is called a Christian, we must serve the Lord. It is our privilege. It is also our responsibility. It is also our duty. It is not an option. It is something that is compulsory. It is our purpose. It's our purpose right here, down here upon the earth. It will continue to be our purpose all the way to eternity. I hope you realize that. Our service of the Lord will never, never end. Even in the new heaven and the new earth, we will always be praising the Lord. So understand this truth, first of all. The believer. Who is it that is called? Those who are born again in Christ Jesus. They are not only called unto salvation, they are also called to serve. But then there are certain aspects of their service which may only be revealed by time. And so therefore, the second element to the call of service is timing. Now down here, we know that Moses is called to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. But as we have seen in the earlier messages, especially in Exodus chapter 2. Sure, he may be the one that has been appointed by the Lord to do this particular task. But then, at the point of time, in Exodus chapter 2, you realize that yes, he may be a believer, but his faith is one that is still immature. He's still not yet ready to handle the task that will be given to him right here in Exodus chapter 3. And so therefore, there is also a timing with regards to certain aspects of our call to service. With regards to Moses, down here in Exodus chapter 3, it is the right time. When we talk about it being the right time, understand that he is now 80 years old. He's going to live until the age of 120. Now 80, two-thirds of his life will have passed. He would have undergone, firstly, the education in the courts of Egypt, and then after that, he would have 40 years tending to dumb sheep in the land of Midian. And the land of Midian is not exactly near to Egypt, right? Remember that he had fled about 400 kilometers unto the land of Midian. And the land of Midian is separated from the land of Egypt by the Gulf of Aqaba. So down there in this desert land in Midian, he would be humbled. He would learn that he is nobody in the sight of the Lord, and that the only person that he must rely on is none other than God himself. That is the lesson that he must learn. How long did he take to learn this lesson? 40 long years. Now, does that mean that he is not called to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, that is not true. But with regards to this call, there is also a timing whereby he will start off with this task. There will be a timing with regards to his training. And after he has been sufficiently trained, after he has grown in terms of his spiritual maturity, Now, this is the time whereby he will lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so there is also this particular element with regards to the call to service, and that is timing. Now, how then does it apply to all of us? There may be some of us down here who may be called, for example, to be a Sunday school teacher. But doesn't mean that a person is called to be a Sunday school teacher means right now the person is ready to teach, isn't it? The person may just know the Lord. And although there may be certain aspects of that person which we can see is very suitable for teaching, and the person may be granted by the Lord a good voice, the person may be granted by the Lord a keen mind whereby is able to understand the scriptures well, and then able to also explain it well to others. Nevertheless, the person may still not yet be ready to serve as a Sunday school teacher. There may be certain aspects, certain things that the person still need to learn. And the person may, yes, may be able to understand the scriptures in a heightened fashion, but still there are far more other things that the person needed to learn. Then in terms of the heart, in terms of the spirit of the person, to learn humility, just like Moses, well, that will also take time. And so, yes, the person may be called, but the person may only start to serve with respect to that calling which the Lord has reserved for him or her, maybe only 10 years later. So there is a timing. A person may be called to be a minister of God's word, but he is not going to go straight away into the mission fields in order to preach and teach God's word. After certain years of living in this world, like maybe the person has been working as a teacher or working as a businessman, then the Lord, just like Moses, may issue out his call. And even then, he is not going to plunge straight away into a church, not going to plunge straight away into the mission field. He will need to undergo training in God's word. And so practically here in Singapore, if let's say somebody is called, well, he will enter the Far Eastern Bible College, right, to study God's word, to so that he will know God's word well and accurately, and when he go forth to teach, he will not teach forth error. Because once you teach forth error, you will realize that what will suffer will be the souls of men and women. It is not a game. Or to put it in a Singaporean way, it is not play-play. So therefore, the person will need to be trained with regards to his understanding of the scriptures, and then also with regards to his life. And so therefore, he will undergo the various duties that can be found in the Bible college, whereby the Bible college will be used of the Lord to train the person's heart, just like what Moses had went through, right, in Exodus chapter 2. A person may be called to be an elder. A person may be called to be a deacon. It's also the same thing. You don't put novices in all these offices, isn't it? You may be able to see that the person may have some kind of, sometimes people will say, potential. But that doesn't mean that the person is ready yet. There is always this element of timing with respect to the area of service which God calls us to. Even with respect to somebody who is a fellowship group leader. Even for the person who serves in the PA, the person who serves to in the logistics area, serves in the camp committee, every single thing that is done for the Lord, there is a thing that is called timing. Sometimes a person is just not ready. Yes, the person may have the potential, but not ready. Then wait. Wait, let the person be sufficiently trained in the Lord, especially in terms of spiritual things. And then when the person is ready, the person will serve. And that is exactly what we see down here. Because when we say Moses kept the flock for Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. When we read this particular verse, and then we read Exodus chapter 2, verse 25, understand that 40 years have already passed. But now, at age 80, finally, Moses was ready. And then when you are ready, you will realize that the time to serve will be now. And that is when you must plunge in with all your might, plunge in with the great with great determination, plunge in also with a heart of faith and humility, trusting in the Lord, and then to do the task which the Lord has asked you to do. So understand all these things. Firstly, the believer. Secondly, there is also timing. Then, the next element that we need to consider, and this is a very, very critical element that we must remember, that is the caller. That is the third element. And that you can find in verses 2 to 4 of this particular passage. Who exactly is the caller? The caller is none other than God himself, right? You see down here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now, who is the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord is not just any ordinary angel, any ordinary messenger. Wherever you see the expression, the angel of the Lord in the scriptures, it refers to none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This would be the pre-incarnate appearance of our Savior. Now, how do we know this? Because later on, when you look at verse 4, you will realize that the angel of the Lord is called God. God is the one who called Moses out of the bush. Okay, so this angel of the Lord is Christ himself. So who is it that calls? It is God who calls. It is Christ who calls. When you talk about the church is also, right, the church is the body of Christ. But who is the head of the church? The head of the church is Christ. And it is Christ who therefore decides which member is placed on which part of his body to serve what particular function. It's the Lord who distributes the various spiritual gifts. It is never us who decides what spiritual gifts we have. It's always God. And it is God who calls. Just like down here, it's the angel of the Lord who called Moses. And he called it in a way that would be very, very striking to Moses. And he needed this very striking incident down here because of the difficulty of the task which he had to handle later on. And you realize the greater the magnitude of the task, the more magnificent the calling would be. So sometimes people will say, hey, how I wish that I have a calling like that of Moses, you know, whereby I get to see a burning bush somewhere. Sometimes we better be careful, you know, because the greater, the more stupendous the thing that we experience, oh, you can be sure, the greater the difficulty you have to face later in life. You look at some of the great saints that have been called in the past. They are great, of course, not of themselves. They are great because of the grace of God which work in their lives. And then you look at how they are called. And then you look through the various great difficulties they had to go through. Then you realize that sometimes it's better not to wish for such a stupendous sight. Right? For down here, the reason why God called him in this manner is, well, the great difficulty they had to face, you know, handled 2 million people in the wilderness, and the people that he handled will keep complaining, will keep murmuring against God. And he had to be very patient with them. He had to be very long-suffering with them. He had to continually teach them the truth. Keep his own spirit in check by the grace of God. To learn how to truly love God's people with the love of Christ. Well, that is what he had to do. And it would be so easy to give up. Why must I lead 2 million of such people there? They like to complain, I just let somebody take over. Why must I do it? And whenever he be tempted to give up, then he will remember this sight. And this sight is something that in a way is common in the desert, yet not so common. Now, in what way is it common? Because in the desert, you will have many, many bushes. And then the burning of bushes is also very, very common in the desert because of the heat, right? Lack of water and heat. But to have a bush that is burning and not consumed is not common. You don't find that, because every bush that burns, it will be consumed. You don't find anything burning and yet The leaves are all intact. The leaves are yet still healthy. You don't find that. And so therefore, it was very, very clear that this was not an ordinary incident. This was something that was supernatural. It's God that was calling him. Now, next time, wherever he led the children of Israel into the wilderness, and then Moses would see bushes, he will always be reminded of his call. He cannot escape it. Go this place, bush. Oh, yes, the Lord is the one who called me. This place, see bush. The Lord is the one who called me. He will be reminded of it. And it will serve both as a rebuke as well as an encouragement to his heart. Rebuke in the sense that, oh, I want to give up. But it's the Lord who called you. How can you give up? It's a privilege. But at the same time, it will be encouragement because the Lord is the one who called you, and so therefore he will grant you the grace to go through it and to accomplish it. You cannot give up, and the Lord will help you not to give up. Look to him. He will be your encouragement. That's why the burning bush. Each one of us will be caught in different ways. Not necessarily as stupendous as that of Moses, but the Lord will have his own unique way to make sure that by his Spirit, he will testify to our hearts exactly what he has called us to do. And at the right time, remember at the right time, right? This is only occurred right at the age of 80 for Moses, whereby he was already mature in the faith and now considered by God to be ready to handle the task. And God is the one who called him. Don't forget that God is the one who called him out of the midst of the bush, and it was a personal call. Right? Remember all our calls, right? To serve is always personal. It's not just general in the sense that, oh, suddenly call a whole group of people. No. God knows every one of us. And to each and every one of us, there will be a specific call. He knows us individually. And so therefore, down here, Moses. This call to be a deliverer of the children of Israel is not for Aaron. It's not for Miriam. It's not for anyone who is there among the children of Israel. It's for you, Moses. I have called you specifically to this task. Moses. And since it's a personal call, we must never ever take it lightly. Understand this. We must always also remember, based upon this, that when it comes to service, is always God who sends and not we ourselves. We don't send ourselves. You don't go into the church. You don't go into the world and then say, oh, you know, this thing looks something that which I like to do. Oh, I like to be in the limelight, so I like to be in the Sunday school. I like to stand before men and I like to teach. Oh, I like everybody to know that I'm contributing in some way in the worship service, and so therefore I like to be a pianist. Oh, I like the people to know that I am so faithful in the service of the Lord and I want it to be open, so therefore I want to be part of certain committees, to be a camp master, to be a coordinator of this particular big project in the church. You never ever do that. We don't send ourselves into the various roles that can be found in the church, drawing attention to ourselves. If you do that, you will be detrimental to the extension of the kingdom of God because the attention will be drawn to yourself and not to God. Always remember this. You let God be the one to place you in that particular area of service. Don't send yourself there. If you send yourself there, you can be very sure that it will be a failure because it's not God who placed you there. And then the next time you face certain difficulties, you're going to say, I'm going to give up. Because why? In the first place, you are the one who called yourself there. And because you call yourself there, God did not give you the grace to thrive in a particular area of service. And then you will say, I give up. And you will surely fail. It is guaranteed. It's only a matter of time. Either you will say you will give up or you will end up being used as an instrument of Satan in order to cause great damage to the church. There is no other way about it. So therefore, always make sure that in whatever area of service we have in the church, it is always the Lord who has called us to be in that particular area of service. And it doesn't matter whether or not it is in the role of a teacher, the role of a pianist, the role of somebody who sits in the various church committee, or even somebody who is involved in logistics, cleaning the cups for the Lord's Supper, placing the hymn books in the pews, serving in the fellowship group in terms of washing. Everything that we do, we must make sure that we do it because the Lord has called us to do. And this also teaches us this with regards to the service of the Lord. That because it is God who calls, it is not man who opens and closes opportunities for service, but God. You know, there is one very common saying in churches, and that is, oh, we want to have this particular activity because we want to open up opportunities for people to serve. Do you know that that is actually the very wrong thing to say? You cannot say this kind of thing because who are you to open opportunities for people to serve? I open up opportunities for people to serve God. Are you trying to say, therefore, you are the caller? You are not the caller. God is the caller. God is the one who determines, yes, this is a particular area of ministry that will open up. And then, since there is a particular need, therefore, you pray and ask that the Lord lead and direct that the right ones whom He has determined to serve in these areas will be placed there. It is always the case. Take, for example, the Vocation Bible School. Now, is the Vocation Bible School something which the Lord has called us to do? Yes, of course, the Lord has indicated very, very clearly, right, over the years that the VBS is a vital ministry of the church, and the Lord has definitely asked us to continue to serve in this particular area. But then, why do we have the VBS? We have the VBS not because we want to provide opportunities for people to serve. And so therefore, being the VBS, you don't just anyhow create certain areas, oh, so that people can serve, can that serve, and then get those people who are not caught in the areas of service to serve. You don't do that. You must understand what is the function of the VBS, and the function of the VBS is only one. It's never to provide opportunities for people to serve, but to minister to children with the good news of Jesus Christ so that they may find salvation in Him. And then with respect to all those who are already believers, we pray that with the Vocation Bible School, when they hear the good news of Jesus Christ being preached, they will continue to have a deeper understanding, appreciation of what the Lord has done for them in their life. That they will learn not to take the salvation which Christ has given to them for granted. That is the purpose of the Vocation Bible School. And then when there is the need, with regards to the areas of service, pray. Every time a person is placed in the service, whoever is leading in terms of the committee must pray very, very hard that it is the right person that is placed there. That person is the one that is truly called by God to be there. And the only way you can know it is what? You pray. You must pray. It cannot be, oh, I just appoint the person there simply because the person is my friend. Never. It must never be that. You sit down and you pray very hard. Is the person, firstly, one who has been given the appropriate spiritual gift to serve in that area? And all the more important, especially when it involves certain areas of ministry that needs spiritual maturity. I think about teachers. You think about the teacher assistants. They are all very, very important. You pray. And then among those whom you know that the Lord has granted them the gifts to serve in this area, is it the right time? Is it the right person? Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. It's never just like how people do things in the world. No, just draw out drafts and right. Wherever you do anything with regards to the service of the Lord, you must always pray. Because when it comes to service, it's always God who calls. So the VBS, every single area, the person whom you ask must be a person whom the Lord has truly called to that task. Same for the church camp, same for any church program. The call to service. God calls. Whoever is called to be a Sunday school teacher is also the same. You must make sure that you are teaching the children because it is God's call. Not just because you love teaching, but because God is the one who placed you there. And then even if you talk about you having the gift of teaching, where exactly did the Lord appoint you to teach? Again, you must make sure that that place where the Lord has appointed you to teach is the place where you are. You are not at the place where the Lord did not appoint you to teach. And when we understand that, then when it comes to our service of the Lord, we can go forth with great assurance. Otherwise, at the turn of the slightest difficulty, there will be murmurings, there will be complaints. Sure, even for those who are sometimes placed in doing that which the Lord has called them to do, because of our immaturity, we can sometimes complain. It's very, very easy. It is a struggle, and we must learn to commit, therefore, everything to the Lord. But all the more, if you are not called to be in that particular area, sooner or later, you will either complain or you will deal great damage to the kingdom of God. The Lord is the one who opens opportunities for people. And when it's open, better go in. Because otherwise, just like what the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College would sometimes say, if the Lord opens the door, you better go. Otherwise, it may close forever. Because He is the one who opens. It's a high calling. It's a privilege for you to do it. And so therefore, you go. But at the same time, also understand that sometimes the Lord may also close doors after a period of time. And it can happen. Sometimes a person may be serving in the choir, but when it comes to a certain time of the age, the person may lose his voice. The Lord may cause a certain illness to come such that he loses his voice box, or perhaps just due to the aging of the body, the voice box slowly lose the function. And then you come at one point of time, you suddenly realize that I just cannot sing. Then, okay, that means that the Lord has closed that door of service, but that doesn't mean you stop serving. Then you pray, where else does the Lord want me to serve? And then you go, and then you serve. And it can happen. But if you don't understand that, and you take it that you are the one who determines where you serve. Oh, I simply love to sing and want to continue to sing. I don't care. I want to place myself here in the choir. Then in the end, you will end up not only hurting yourself, you will end up hurting the choir ministry, isn't it? Because now the choir ministry have to bear with somebody who cannot sing. And then sometimes it's very, very difficult for those who are in the choir to tell you, please, please leave because you cannot sing. So understand this truth with regards to God being the caller. Always make sure that wherever you go, it is the Lord who has placed you there. Same for the workplace. I am there at this workplace, not because I like this particular work. It must never be that. I am working for this company because I like this particular work. It must be I am at this company because God is the one who opened the door for me to enter this company, and I want to make sure that when I enter it, I enter with the right spirit. Because if you don't, you go in there, sure, you may fool yourself that I'm happy working there, but in the end, what you will be doing in the place will be detrimental to the name of Christ, because you are there serving self, you are not there serving the Lord. Wherever you go, it must be where the Lord has called you to. And if you understand this, you will have the right kind of attitude. You look at verses 5 to 6 down here. The Bible here says, draw not nigh hither. Right? That's what God said to Moses. Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Right? This will be God telling Moses, you better humble yourself. You better know who you are standing before. Who is the one who has called you? You are not even worthy to stand before him. So make sure you put off the shoes from off your feet. Humble yourself before me. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Also very important, because it tells you that when you serve the Lord, you must always serve in holiness. That was what Moses did not understand in Exodus chapter 2. He was very self-willed. And then when he committed that act against the Egyptian, he was not doing it according to the truth of the Holy Scriptures. That is the problem. Wherever we serve the Lord, it must always be done in God's way. It must always be done also in holiness. It must never involve any form of wickedness. Remember the Lord. He is the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And so don't we ever dare to do any aspect of our calling in sin, or in a manner that is contrary to the Holy Scriptures. Don't ever do that. And always remember who we serve. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who are we? We are nothing. But God, God is above all. And He therefore now calls you. And so when you serve Him, your attitude must be right. Just like down here, Moses must always remember that this person who has called him is the God of his father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am calling you to serve me, and I am the God of your fathers who have gone before you in the past. And Moses understood what it meant, because he hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. He was so awestruck. And that is the right kind of attitude that we have. That when we serve the Lord, we must serve Him with godly reverence and fear. That is the attitude we must have regards to the call to service. It's not something to be taken flippantly and lightly. Oh, I'm called to serve in this committee, and so therefore, okay, all the men are now serving me, seeing me serve. And so therefore, I just do all things to please myself. And then I do according to my thinking, this way and that way, instead of according to the principles that have been set forth in Scripture. Never ever be so quick to follow your ways. You must make sure that your ways must be according to God's way. It's not a light matter, because you are serving God, the awesome God, the fearsome God, who is able to not only destroy the body, but also the soul. Our Lord is a consuming fire. How dare we serve Him flippantly? How dare we slight the call to service which the Lord has given to us? Whether be ushering, or a greeter, or somebody who sweeps the compound, always do it with the fear of the Lord in your heart. The Lord is looking from heaven and evaluating every single service that you have rendered unto Him. Make sure it's done in holiness. Make sure it's done in the fear of the Lord. Down here, Moses understood it. But at the same time, whatsoever the Lord has said to Moses was also most assuring, because He is now telling him that whatsoever I'm asking you to do is according to my covenantal faithfulness. I am the faithful God. So if I have called you, I will be with you. I was with Abraham. I was with Isaac. I was with Jacob. And now whatsoever I ask you to do is also part of that grand plan of redemption, is according to the covenant which I've made with them. I am not blind. I have surely seen. Right? Take note, surely seen. Right? Same force as what you read in Genesis chapter 3, whereby the Lord said, or rather Genesis chapter 2, whereby the Lord said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou wilt surely die. To die, you will die. Now down here, also the same. To see, I have seen. So in other words, please do not think that I am blind with regards to all the afflictions of my people. I remember the covenant I've made with them. I've also seen the kind of troubles which they have gone through. I am fully aware. And not only am I fully aware, I am fully sympathetic to the various troubles in which they have gone through. The word affliction down here, or rather the word cry down here, right? Cry by reason of their taskmasters. The word cry here is a loud cry of anguish. Somebody who has gone through great agony, and so therefore he or she cannot help but let out that loud cry. I have heard all these things. I know. And right now, I am going to bring whatsoever I've stated in my covenant into effect. I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And now the next stage of this grand plan of redemption is going to happen. I have already used Egypt to be the womb to give birth to the people of Israel, 2 million of them. Now the time has come to take this baby out of the womb and now to let the baby be in the place where it ought to be. And where is this place? It's a place where I've already appointed to be for my people. It is a good land, a land that is lush, a land that is filled with milk and honey, right? Milk meaning there will be sufficient greenery whereby the cattle can eat and then it will be able to provide its milk. In other words, a very fertile land. And the fertility of the land is further emphasized by the word honey. Right? Not only bees that will be able to produce that sweet honey that can go into the mouth, but more importantly, also talks about the much vegetation, right? Fruit that can grow in that land. Very, very fertile. A very good place for the children of Israel to be in. Now, of course, right now, the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they are there. But I am going to give you that land. And so they will be gone. So that will be also part of my grand plan. The time has come. And so now I hear the cry. The children of Israel are ready. This cry means it's time to come out of Egypt. You now are given this commission. And that will be the last element that we're going to consider. The commission. The task. I will send thee. Come now. Now, right? Take note of the word now. Now, come, actually, right? That is how it's written. Now, come, therefore. Now, don't delay. The time is right. This is your task. I have shown you what is your task. And the task is this. I will send you, right? Not any ordinary word for send. This send has a sense of commission. I'm going to send you and make sure you don't turn back, right? This is the Hebrew word shalach. I'm going to send you and you make sure you don't turn back because this is an official commission. You are going to accomplish it. And what you are going to do is this very specific task of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and into this land. You are that deliverer. Remember your task and to fulfill it. But don't ever forget that I will be with you. I will be your help. This is all part of that grand plan that I have already ordained. This is part of the covenant. I am fulfilling this covenant and you are therefore given this great privilege to be part, to be my instrument to use in the fulfilling of this covenant. And so therefore, understand your commission, understand your task, and therefore do it. And this is the same for all of us. Now, we are definitely not called to do the same thing that Moses is doing. I mean, we are firstly not part of Israel, right? But what we are, especially for most of us, right, attending this worship service, we are part of Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. And you know, therefore, that the Lord's task and commission for you is what? Is to serve in Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church in whatever area of service which the Lord has asked you to do, and then to serve it well. And with time, the Lord will reveal it, right? Remember timing, right? Firstly, you must be a believer. That's why only believers can serve, right, in the church. And then there will be a timing whereby God, who is the caller, will call you. Make sure you have the right attitude. And then with this time that passed, slowly, step by step, the Lord will reveal very clearly what exactly you are to do. You just look at those who are serving in the Far Eastern Bible College. Many of them, they do not know exactly where the Lord has called them to serve. They know that the Lord has called them. They know I'm called to be a minister of God's word. But where exactly? Which congregation? Quite a number of them do not know. But with time, the Lord leads them. Some say I'm called to be a missionary. Where exactly I am called? At the point of time, while studying in the Far Eastern Bible College, they do not know. But with time, the Lord opens the door and makes it very clear. And then they know, they go. Just now we had Preacher James chairing the meeting. While he was in FEBC, he would not have known that my call was to Africa. Do you know? Right, he did not know. He knew that he was called to serve in the ministry of the word. After that, he was convicted. I'm called to be a missionary. But where? Where exactly? With time, the Lord revealed. And now you ask him, where is my heart? My heart is in Africa. I know that the Lord has called me to be there. Only for the time being, I'm here on a furlough. But I'm going to go as soon as possible. Once the Lord makes my way back there, I'm going to be there. I'm going to give my life to the Lord there. That is the commission which the Lord has given to him. And whatsoever you see in the life of Moses, in the life of Preacher James, it's also the same for every one of us, which time the Lord will reveal. Right now, I have some in the live streaming team down here. Did they know that a few months ago that they would be part of the live streaming team? They do not know. But now the Lord has revealed. This is the commission that the Lord has given to them. And they are probably going to be involved later on, even when we return for the physical gathering for worship services. It's a task. The Lord has given it to them. And it's the Lord's call. And I believe that they will serve with the right attitude, with the right heart. Same for all of us. What is the task that the Lord has given to you? You must go down on your knees and pray. Remember that it's the Lord who calls. So ask him, Lord, what have you called me to do? And have the right attitude when you ask him. Don't say, huh, tell me what I have to do. You see, I am somebody, so put me in some place that everybody can see, okay? If you do that, you will never know. Go down, ask the Lord, step by step, I wait upon thee. My desire is, wherever you lead me to serve, I will serve. Even if it means clearing of the rubbish, I will do it. Because you are God Most High. But what is the task? For Moses, the task in this. And the Lord's promise is, if I call you, I will enable. I also rest in that same promise, O Lord. What exactly is this task? Tell me. Tell me, and I will follow you. That is what exactly we have in the call to service. Today, we have learned five elements. What are the five elements? Firstly, the believer. It is a believer who is called. Have you believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you say you are a true believer, then immediately you are called to serve the Lord. And there will be a timing with respect to the various areas of service we have in the Lord. Certain areas we can immediately serve. For example, once you are called to be a believer, immediately you can pray for others. Right? You can immediately participate in the worship service, and you know whatsoever you render in the worship service will be acceptable unto the Lord. You can continue in whatever place that the Lord has called you to, whether a student or what, and then bear a good testimony for Christ in that place. But then, there'll be other areas that in due time will open to you. The timing. Who is it that determines the time? Who is it that determines the area of service? Then the third element, the caller. Always remember that it's God who calls. Not we who send ourselves, but God. Not man who opens and closes opportunities for service, but God. And so therefore, it is a high calling. And he will call each of us personally, just like he called Moses. Moses, Moses. And because it is God who calls, so therefore make sure we have the right attitude. Always humble yourself before the thrice holy God. Serve in holiness. Serve with great fear in your heart. Always obeying the truth. And if you have the right attitude, the Lord will see you through the task which he has for you, the commission, the task. That will be the last element. What is it that the Lord has called you to do? Right? Is it to be a father? To be a mother? To be a child at home? Whether is it to be a student? To be a businessman? To be a teacher? To be a Sunday school teacher? To be a pianist? To be a camp master? To be a pastor, elder, or deacon? Whatever the Lord has called you to do. Do you do it with the right attitude, knowing that this is what the Lord has called you to do, and if the Lord has called you to do that, He will enable you. He will help you. This is the call of service for you. What has the Lord called you to do? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the scriptures which You have given to us, teaching us, O Lord, how we should walk before Thee and render service that is acceptable in Thy sight. So help us, O Lord, not to forget that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us, O Lord, in every aspect of our life to walk pleasing in Thy sight. And may the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ get all the glory. So we commit all these things into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. And hand the time over back to Preacher James.